episode of the Mad Scientists Exposed radio show, part of the Freedomizer Radio Network. Yes, we trust science. It's just scientists we don't trust. Visit madscientists.exposed for many ways to listen, or call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air. Again, that number is 319-527-6208. And now, here's our lead investigator, Suzanne.
Hi, and welcome once again to another exciting week of Mad Scientists Exposed. And I've got a topic lined up that we don't hear very often in the news, at least, not on the TV news. There's a few articles floating around out there in the online printed word, but really they're not connecting the dots, and so I thought I would connect some dots today. So, yes, there is some vaccine news out there. An article came out just a couple days ago that the kindergarten autism rate in California is now up 17% from among kindergartners from about a year ago, because now they have the mandatory vaccine thing going in California. You do not get an education unless you are vaccinated to the gills with everything they can think to throw out little kids. And it's pretty horrible. And I have a link to that article in our Facebook feed at Mad Scientists, and it takes you over to Circle of Docs Elevate, and they've got the charts where they're comparing years before and after and how this is skyrocketing. And it's skyrocketing anyway, but because the CDC keeps increasing the schedule. But now that nobody's allowed to decline in California, no matter how crippled your kid is with his or her autism or asthma or other autoimmune diseases, no matter how injured your child is, if he wants an education in California, you have to point that Russian roulette gun at his head once again. So, my God, I wish everybody would just move out of California, because they're Looney Tunes there. Well, I'm sorry, but their legislature and governor have to be paid off for this by the big pharmas, because there's no other reason for it. You're just making kids sicker and sicker and sicker, just so you can sell vaccines to make them more sicker. It's a self-perpetuating cycle, and I'm just sickened by it, and so I had to do my rant on that. But I know I heard a commercial in our previous show here, Zone 13, a commercial for another Freedomizer radio show called The Forgotten Generation, and they're going to be covering vaccines also. So that's my rant on that. There is another scandal among the scientists that just blows my mind. I mean, nobody's calling it a scandal, but that's what it is. And I started following this issue several years ago. I have another political blog that I've been writing on for years, just things that would pick up my attention, and I would just go comment on it. And that was water-fueled cars. Now, I know a lot of people out there are laughing at me, engineers, whatever, hear me out. And I have family members that are engineers, and I've asked them to look at this, because I also have other acquaintances, friends, relatives of friends who have actually built this thing that you put on your car to increase the water, increase its fuel efficiency. And what it does is it splits water into its separate components, hydrogen and oxygen, and then recombines them to give a boost to the car in the fuel, and you improve your fuel efficiency that way. Ultimately, the theory is that you could power a car on nothing but water, and just by separating them. They are starting to build hydrogen cars, at least a few years ago in Europe. We're never going to see them here, but you have to buy your hydrogen in a tank, and they're trying to figure out how to make that ultra safe, because hydrogen is so combustible when it's carried separately. It's not combustible if you carry it as water and separate it from the oxygen as you use it and then recombine it. But, people have been arguing about this they were arguing about it when all these kits came out online, buy these water kits to convert your car. They were came out about, about 8 years ago is when I started noticing this. And there was a sheriff's department in Colorado that test drove them, and it did improve their fuel efficiency in some of their model cars, but in other models of cars it didn't, because what was going on is the computers under the hood were thwarting it. They were measuring the oxygen level rather than how much fuel was being used, and you know, in order to adjust the air intake. And by doing this, they were defeating the injection of the hydrogen into the fuel. They were bringing in more air and defeating the whole efficiency thing. And so some of the engineers were, yeah, that proves it doesn't work. That proves it doesn't work. Well, it did work if you had a non-computerized car. And I did know somebody that had a non-computerized car, and it did improve his fuel efficiency. He kept his notes and all that stuff. And eventually that car was in an accident or something. He wasn't able to keep that car, and he wasn't able to get another non-computerized car, because it's actually illegal to sell non-computerized cars now in the U.S. I would presume, unless you bought a kit and built your own, which I haven't looked into. There are car aficionados who like building their own cars. There are home aficionados that like to build their own homes and, you know, use the straw bale insulation and whatever tricks that they want to build into their homes that aren't necessarily offered by your standard development home builders. So anyway, this went on for a few years until they pretty much got rid of the whole idea of water-powered cars. And the funny thing is, you know, and there was even one in Tucson. You know, more and more people were doing it, and it just kind of all faded away. Now it just kind of went underground. You don't see the ads on the internet anymore for this stuff. But I mean, there was a story in Tucson, a news story, where this guy had this little gadget under his hood in the park downtown, and it was. I mean, there was, you know, since 9/11, so people were aware of terrorism. But he, you know, he parked in downtown Tucson, I think he had a court date or something, and he forgot to turn the gizmo off under his car hood. So it kept dispensing hydrogen, but it wasn't being taken up by the engine and directed into the pistons, and there was an explosion under his hood. And they brought out the bomb squad and stuff like that. And, you know, they let him go because it wasn't a bomb, but it was quite embarrassing for him. Anyway, so I've got some articles on madscientist.exposed, categories of articles here. I have water as fuel not allowed on Earth, and I've got a whole bunch of articles on that. And actually, some of these link back to my older blog. I have blogging engineers come to blows over water-powered cars. And I had a lot of fun with that one. You know, a lot of verbal fisticuffs have been flying on sites like Treehugger and Slashdot between science-minded people who are lining up and polarizing over the whole concept of extracting energy from H2O. And I got to tell you, some of it's getting pretty hostile. In this corner, the defenders of the first law of thermodynamics. On one side of the aisle, we have those who have spent years getting multiple college degrees in science and engineering, citing the first law of thermodynamics, which is the conservation of matter and energy, stating that matter and energy are never lost or gained, only converted from one form to another. Basically, that you cannot create either matter or energy out of thin air, nor can either disappear into nothingness. You can convert matter and energy back and forth. That is, you can get energy out of matter and matter out of energy. But in the grand scheme of things, the conversions back and forth must always sum up to a big fat goose egg. But the conversions back and forth are not 100% efficient, and so you'll lose energy at each step to the surrounding environment in the form of unrecaptured heat. Hence the whole global warming idea. I was trying to be funny. Anyway, but as long as you account for the lost heat in the equations, the matter and energy conversions always add up to zero. And at the end of the day, energy and heat are released when hydrogen is combined with oxygen to form water, and not the other way around. Energy must be added to the system to split the hydrogen and oxygen apart. Energy is consumed doing that, not released that way. So water is the end product, the ash of the reaction, not the fuel of it. So in the other corner, we have defenders of the fact that people are indeed breaking that law of first law of thermodynamics. So on the other side of the aisle, we have people jumping up and down saying, look, here are a handful of gurus who have managed to break the law of the first law of thermodynamics and are driving their cars around extracting energy from water, breaking the law. They have U.S. patents, and I have a link to the patents at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. they get 100 miles of gallon of water, 100 miles per gallon of water. They have videos all over YouTube, and I linked to some of those. And now they have little guys like you and me building kits from online manuals and parts from Ace Hardware. So how does it really work? These little kits use a coiled wire in the electrolysis process rather than the usual metal plates. I think they're also using some kind of a chemical catalyst. And in doing so, they set up, like baking soda or something, they set up a resonance that causes the water molecule to shatter with much less energy than previously believed possible, thus releasing the hydrogen for burning or recombining with the water, releasing more energy again than was used to extract the hydrogen. So, what a world. Obviously, there is something conventional science has not previously recognized, but people are breaking the law of conservation of mass and energy all over the world. This is round earth versus flat earth time. This is Galileo versus religion time. This is the relativity versus Newtonian physics time. And it is time to rethink science. So mainstream publication of success and the nerve and the unmitigated gall of a little Japanese company named GenePax, that I have a link to that, actually publicizing their success worldwide at running, and it's a Reuters article too, of running their car on water and even talking about mass production when our gurus have been persecuted, prosecuted, and murdered for years by big government and big oil for breaking the law, the Holy Grail first law of thermodynamics. Update, in February of 2010, GenePax, for unknown reasons, appears to have gone the way of Stanley Meyer and Denny Klein, but their Reuters video lives on. Stanley Meyer and Denny Klein, they're two... I guess I'm not sure either of them are still alive. I think Stanley Meyer was extincted himself, I think it was about 20 years ago or so. Denny Klein, I've not been able to find out whatever became of him. But, these people, when you have big oil with a product to sell, they're not going to put up with people just dumping a bucket of water in their car and driving away. So I have big oil and big government. First, why does big oil care? Well, of course, follow the money and follow the power. Second, why does big government care? Well, you'd think it's the money and that they're being bribed by big oil, but I think it's more than that. It's the power, and there is power in secrets. According to the guru/conspiracy websites, gurus have been visited, investigated, had their lab equipment and notes confiscated, et cetera, and on it goes. Why? This is just like the stuff with the health doctors, the natural health doctors. They're being suicided and their labs smashed up and confiscated and all that. Anyway, why? Because all this stuff can be used in military and civil crowd control applications. Resonance, they don't just work on molecules, they work on microorganisms. And that's for disease control, too. There are electronic resonance properties that can kill germs in your body, and all this vaccine stuff is obsoleted by it. But that's a side thing. But resonance is a whole branch of science that only the underground is studying. It's not it's really not big in the sciences that you would think want to improve the lives of mankind. Anyway, they don't just work on microorganisms, they work on macroorganisms like the human body. Just this week we had Rush Limbaugh laughing his head off for hours on air about a Fox News story about quote-unquote crap cannons, frequency emitters that debilitate protesting crowds by causing people to defecate uncontrollably. Or rather, it was a story interviewing people who believe they've witnessed such a thing at past protests and fear it will be used again on them again when they protest at the Democratic National Convention, and this, we're talking about 2010, I believe. Yeah. Or maybe it's 2008. What month was this written? Yeah. Yeah, it was. This is just before the 2008 Democratic Convention. So this, this goes back a ways, that they've kept this underground. Anyway, upheaval of physics and astronomy. So this is the big secret. That we've got most of the engineers, scientists, and doctors to back up the position that it doesn't exist because it can't exist. All these smart people who are just human beings after all are so willing to put blinders on because it doesn't fit the conventional science of our day, whether it's medical science or our current understanding of physics. The favorite tool of ridicule is used against anybody who not only thinks that they can create energy out of nothing or cure cancer by shining a light on it, but who actually does it. They'll run you out of town. They'll suicide you if you actually do this stuff. So this is the stuff crucifixions are made of, not just fisticuffs. But too bad for keeping big secrets anymore. This is the age of the internet, courtesy development by our very same big government. I love irony. Well, now we have Obama trying to shut it down, but we'll see. I don't think it's possible. Pandora's box has been unleashed. The upheaval of physics, astronomy, and cosmology. According to conventional physics, the only time matter or energy were ever created was at the beginning of time, at the Big Bang. Ever since then, matter and energy have only been converting back and forth between each other, and inefficiently at that. So we have an unrecapturable heat loss. But it's not really lost. It's still part of the universe. So we have giant space-borne telescopes photographing the background radiation, the bottom line non-zero temperature of the universe, the echo of the Big Bang. And there was only one Big Bang, wasn't there? We can't have people all over this humble little planet creating little Big Bangs, extracting energy where none was seen before, upheaving all of known science, can we? The nature of the Big Bang wouldn't actually be interwoven with the very nature and fabric of our everyday universe, would it? The universe wouldn't actually inherit the nature of the Big Bang, would it? The child doesn't actually inherit the characteristics of its parent, does he? Are we children of the universe or are we not? Are we children of God or are we not? God the Creator? Do you want to try it? Drive your car extracting energy where there was none before. Tinker with curing your next cold or flu. And I've got links to, instructions for that. Pretty heavy stuff where even the New Agers agree with the words of Jesus Christ. I got to go have a cup of coffee is how I ended that one. So I had a lot of fun with that, but then I had more fun with that. And I linked to, water power cars, enter in the age of Aquarius. I think I hit background music on that one. I'll have to mute that that tab. So, if you want to join this conversation, I'll just give a quick phone number before I delve more into this because we're not halfway there yet. The phone number to call in is 319-527-6208, 319-527-6208. And let me just give a quick synopsis of some of the other articles I've got here because we do have a caller already. So let me pull this up. I wish my screen was just a little faster. So I have another article, Water-Powered Cars, Usher in the Age of Aquarius. And this, this past century is kind of like the passing of the Age of Pisces into the Age of Aquarius. So huge implications for all power industries in the world economy was astrologically forecast. And I go on about the Age of Aquarius. And if we're going to be using water for fuel, then, yeah, you could call it the Age of Aquarius. The ending of Pisces, the beginning of Aquarius, natural cycles overlapping, sunspot cycle example. And I talk about the sun. The sun flips its magnetic poles every 22 years. Its solar cycle is every 11 years. And now we're seeing some disruptions in that. But there are some things going on out in space science. And I think there are no coincidences. And I had a lot of fun with that. So the next group of articles I have down here is water as fuel. Now that, that was all ridiculed and laughed off the stage like they tried to do to Donald Trump this past election, now the scientists who weren't promoting this for our own use on Earth, they're just jumping up and down. They're ready to do it on Mars now that we found a lot of water on Mars. I mean, a lot of the water's underground, but it's very easy. There's articles out there for now we can farm on Mars because we found water. And now we can drive our cars on Mars because we're going to split water to make hydrogen fuel on Mars. That's newscientist.com. Extracting hydrogen for fuel on Mars, that's space.com. These are big name sites. Making rocket fuel propellant on Mars. This article actually goes back to 2001. So that scientist was pretty, had a lot of foresight. Is the technology used in the book to make rocket fuel on Mars is real? The water H2O produced by the reaction is then electrolyzed, and that it goes on about that. Making space rocket fuel from water could drive a power revolution. And this was just 3 months ago. This is physics.org, PHYS.org. And this was just this past September. Making Space rockets fueled from water could drive a power revolution on Mars Odyssey orbiter, recovering precautionary pause in activity. All this stuff that wasn't allowed on Earth, you know, the previous decade, they're going to do it on Mars, at least they think. Harvesting Mars Science Mission Directorate. This is science.nasa.gov. A NASA-supporting scientist, a NASA-supported scientist, is learning how to use carbon dioxide, the main gas in Mars' atmosphere, to harvest rocket fuel and water from, and then it goes on, living on Mars, making clean water on Mars. Mars for the many. Sabatier reaction. This is Wikipedia. And this is something slightly different. The Sabatier reaction, or Sabatier process, was discovered by the French chemist Paul Sabatier. The process is electrolysis of water by electricity to create hydrogen, which can partly be used directly in fuel cells, and the addition of carbon dioxide, CO2, Sabatier process to create methane. That sounds like the catalyst process to me. In situ resource utilization, and more Wikipedia, SpaceX bold plan to generate fuel on Mars. This is inverse.com. And, you know, we know SpaceX now is the private billionaire's competitor for Mars and with NASA. So NASA is now all excited to go to Mars because we're going to do it whether they go or not. So making rocket fuel on Mars, okay, this goes way back. They're quoting 1978, but this article is 2012. But and they think they're going to do this, but they're really not, because the UN wants to regulate Mars, and they want to keep us off it. You know, you might bring a germ there and all this stuff. The articles, Who Owns Mars, The Law in Outer Space, Space Law, The Legal Environment on Mars, and Space Pirate Mark, I don't know who that is. Existing space law concepts, which I think they've modeled on Antarctica and the moon, and, you know, there's a lot of water on the moon, too, so they're just jumping right to Mars. A space law and space resources, the National Space Society, the tricky question of water rights on Mars, and this is Slate, and this is about a little over a year ago, Slate magazine. Acts passed at the session of the legislature of the state of, this is a Google book. The Onion fools China, I'm not sure how they did that. Colonizing Mars, UN-controlled, ask men, who owns the moon, space law, and all the crooks at the UN want to stick their hand out before you can drink a drop of water on Mars. So anyway, let me take this. You know what? I should run a quick commercial break, and then I promise, caller, I will pick you up. That way we get the commercials. I won't have to cut you off.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer Radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Are you looking for a new place to shop, eat, or save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, on cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right now, right here. The check was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost us $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we're going to check out. Here's what you can do. If you want to save that much money, view the books in your area before you buy. You can go to freedomizerradio.com and barefootislegal.org. Just click on the city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around your town with your new Save Around book. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Click on your town and start saving money now.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Hi, and we're back, and welcome, caller. You're in the 870 area code. Where would that be?
870, hey, that's me. That is, I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi,
do you have
you
thoughts
doing?
On any of this? Okay, thanks. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I only caught probably the last 5 or 6 minutes, and you were talking about the moon and the, you know, rights to all that stuff, and I was just really listening in, and I was wanting to get your opinion. I mean, who does have the rights? I mean, where do we draw that line?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you'd like to think all of mankind has the right to go there once we have the technology. I know there will be people who, because NASA has competitors now in the private sector,
right.
You know, and the UN thinks it's going to get in there and regulate it. Right now, you know, private people really can't go to Antarctica without an escort. There's a lot of scientists going on down there. But now I'm seeing on YouTube that there's military secret projects going on down at Antarctica. But you can't
there's
just go
lot
down
of
there
stuff
and start going
on it. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of stuff going on at Antarctica. They got the whole flat Earth deal. That there's just a bunch of nonsense going on, but
disinformation to see who they can suck in. I really think that's disinformation. That's this campaign to suck in stupid people so they won't be able to
exactly.
see.
Exactly.
I don't know. And when we, when people get to Mars, there are billionaires that are, either the moon or Mars, we get back to the moon. There are billionaires who are funding their own research, and they're going to get there with or without NASA. Because, we stopped going to the moon, and without an adequate explanation, and, these people are going to get there, and of course they're going to want to use the water to, refuel their water tanks and grow their hydroponics, and now it looks like they'll be able to refuel themselves, and they won't have to carry fuel with them or have these unwieldy solar wings.
Well, you might be able to answer this for me. I mean, you're talking about going to Mars. I mean, you're talking about going to Mars and refueling and water. I mean, and I'm a big I love the cosmos. I love it. But maybe you can offer some insight into something I don't know. I mean, because you're talking refueling at Mars. I mean, is there any actual evidence or anything that, legislates that there actually is water on Mars? And if we're talking about water, are we talking about liquid water? Are we talking about frozen ice?
Most of it's frozen right now. But like the big news this past year on Mars was that they actually photographed some hillsides of water that was frozen and then melted with the seasonal change and then refroze again. And there are other chemicals in it. There's other chemicals in it. It's not fit for human drinking until we process this acid stuff out of it. So that I guess it dissolved from the rock formations. I'm not sure. There's a lot of underground things. And just, I think it was just a few weeks ago, they found this water, the quantity of Lake Superior underground on Mars. And so that's quite a lot of water,
wow.
at least for a first colony. So I'd have to search to find that article again. But there's been, quite a bit of nice news there. When that announcement came out, the UN started saying, wait, you might disturb some microbes that might be living there. The microbes might have more right to it than we do because it's their planet.
Right. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, and if you go to northwestern Arkansas up into the southwest part of Missouri, there's a lot of caves and caverns that you can go into, and they take you on guided tours, and it's really fun, and it's awesome. But they always tell you, they're like, don't touch the side of the cave. You might disturb the microbes. And I'm like, are you freaking serious? Like, literally, like, these caves and caverns and that water flow has been here for thousands of years, and it's been just fine, and I'm sure other humans have touched it, so get off my ass.
Yeah, they try to minimize it. When I was a kid, we went to Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico, and they had really done a lot of construction in there to put in walkways and handleways and stuff, and they said, you see the way that stalactite looks there? It's right in the, within reaching distance, and it's all black and tarnished because people have been touching it. And in particular, it seems like redheads have more tarnishing ability than anybody else, but particularly on brass railings. And my mom's like, I had a little bit of red hair at the time. My mom's like, don't you touch anything, and all this stuff. But that was the big thing, was that, just the damage from walking through, and just your exhale would change the humidity balance in the cave. And so when they discovered Karchner's Cavern in Arizona, which is every bit as spectacular as Carlsbad Caverns, it's right at Benson. It's probably, about a 4 to 6 hour drive between the two of them. In Karchner's Cavern, there was these brothers that discovered it on their property, and they kept it a secret for like 10 years while the state of Arizona figured out how to make a state park out of it. And when they finally announced it, but they wouldn't say where it was. And they did this construction, and they made this walkway, but they encased, there was like this air block between you and everything else. You couldn't touch anything. It was all glassed in. And so you could see the beauty and all the waterfalls, and they installed lights to enhance the looks of it and stuff. But they had to be very careful. They engineered this whole thing like it was the Louvre Museum, because you can damage painting by flashing light into the paint and stuff in the paintings. Well, they took the same attitude with this Karchner's Cavern in Arizona. They only opened part of it to human exploration, or human viewing. And a lot of it is, I guess, I don't know who they're for. I guess geologists, scientists, or something. Most of humanity won't ever get to see all the extra caverns, but they you get a good sampling of it with the little tour that they've got there. So, and they've built up an industry around it. There's hotels and restaurants that were never there before. Near Benson, Arizona.
I've always found humor in, they're like, don't touch the cave, don't touch the stalactites, stalagmites, and all that stuff. Don't touch them. But before they give that speech and make those mandates, they go in there and they run electrical wires, and they have people go in there and do all kind of crap, and they're all over the cave and building bridges and stuff over, cliffs to drop off. And I'm like, you guys have already touched this a million times. Like, what is me sticking my finger on the wall? And I understand the preservation part. I do get it.
Yeah.
But
it's hard to
know. It really is, and it's very controversial. And I've always been on the, as you can tell on my side of things, like me touching the finger of a cave wall is not going to affect the ecosystem anyway. The little, micromillimeters of oil that comes off my finger is not going to hurt anything. And I can remember
it's already been open to the public for years.
Yeah.
There are some caves that you can't get into. I know I think it's in the Catalinas in Arizona. There's something called Pepper Sauce Cave, and it's really pretty beat up. My kids have gone in there a couple of times. They get their little, you know, their headlamps and stuff, and they crawl in there, and some of it is just belly crawling, and you get all the way in, and there's this pool of water. But they're covered in mud when they come out, and they have a great time, but they're just totally disgusted by the graffiti and the garbage. And when they got to the pool of water, they could stink. I mean, they could smell it. It stunk. You know, there was, people are using it like a big hothouse there. And they were quite disappointed in that because it's, you know, it ruins it for people that come after you. So there are people that are very inconsiderate. And we don't want to trash Mars when we get there. Mars, you know, it's a planet. It's a little bit smaller than the Earth. We don't want to trash it.
Right.
So it's good if we develop, you know, technologies to, you know, for recycling, trash compactors, or I don't know how they're going to deal with it, incinerate trash. I don't know how they're going to deal with it because we don't want to trash a planet. So we are learning how to keep
solution.
Our planet clean. Yeah?
No, seriously. What? I mean, the perfect solution. The sun is, 93 million miles away. So if you're going to colonize, and we can't really conceive this on our planet here, but if you're going to colonize Mars, get up there, and once you get a big compost heap or whatever, you know, your trash is compiling, make pods or whatever and send it straight towards the sun. Just shoot it off, boom.
Yeah.
And one, you know, because the laws of gravity, Newton's laws of motion will take over. You know, everything traveling in a straight line will continue to travel in a straight line unless acted on by an external force. So just shoot
it
towards the sun. It'll
accelerate.
Well,
Mars is already orbiting. Just by taking off, it's not going to be a straight line because Mars will give it a sideways orbital motion. So it would have to spiral in. And from what I remember from my university classes years ago, it actually takes more fuel to try to rocket to the inner solar system than it is to rocket to the outer solar system.
but once you're in space, and once you're if Newton's laws of gravity and motion hold still, you don't need fuel at all. All you need to do is be traveling at all you need is to push off. That's it. Because in space, you know, you will continue traveling. Like I often use the analogy that I heard in high school. If you were in space, floating in space, say you're floating in space around the ISS, and you have a baseball in your hand, and you throw that baseball, well, that baseball is going to go at however, you know, whatever force you put behind it forward of you. But you're also going to go in an equal and opposite direction of that baseball. So you will separate from that baseball as it's traveling away from you. You're traveling away from it at the same motion.
You're of more mass, and so it appears to be different.
Right. So the whole energy thing, I don't know, but I said that about trash, and I sent it to the sun. I also said that about Michael Jackson a couple of years ago, but who knows?
I find it kind of interesting. Well, one way of not trashing Mars is that apparently they're not planning to burn fossil fuels on Mars, and I don't think there are any fossils on Mars, but there's some YouTube channels that kind of question. I don't think there's been any civilizations there, but if there are UFOs, they've been there as well as they've been here. So I don't think there's a whole lot of fossil fuels. But then there's a question, is oil really a fossil fuel? I came across a book online called, Black Gold or something? That premise was that that oil is actually made by tectonic friction between the plates on the Earth, and it's not about fossils at all. So I didn't invest in the book. That's just the premise of the book, and I should go invest in the book.
Well, I mean, you know, fossil fuels suggests previous life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's where you – that's pretty much what the whole term comes from. But So
that might not be true, many, but
how many listeners do we have, by the way? Are we?
There's another person listening by phone, but they haven't dialed one, so they're not asking to join our conversation.
Oh, okay, I got you. Well, let me just take your blog talk one step further. What do you think about civilizations and alien life in our own solar system, if not outside of our solar system?
They're finding more and more Earth-like planets with water on them, actual water. And so
right.
They're also finding, there was an announcement, I think less than a month ago, that they've discovered about 200 planet stars. I don't remember what constellation it was, but they're actually looks like they're communicating between each other with lasers, and that's much more direct and less power loss than just radiating out radio waves like we're doing. So Stephen Hawking has been saying, you know, if we find aliens out there, don't talk to them. Don't talk to them because we don't know if they're mean or nice. And
yeah, he's been saying that for years too.
Yeah, and only a few years though, but there are people that are just anxious. I mean, I've known people that have gone to camps in, you know, out at Sedona and Arizona and stuff, and they do this meditation summoning thing, and there is actually another guy on YouTube that summons UFOs, and he had a news team watch him do it, and you know the lights would come in the skies and come kind of look at him and then go away, but he can do this at will, and I think he's, what is he called, prophet somebody, I don't know, but there's something weird going on because there are new photographs almost every day, and there were lights over Phoenix New Year's Eve. Now I was out of town. Mm-hmm. I went to visit family in Tucson.
You're in Arizona?
Yeah, I'm in the Phoenix area, and there were some
gotcha.
Unusual
okay.
lights over New Year's Eve that I missed. I didn't see them. But, you know, there's video out there on they made the mainstream local news and stuff. And so there's something going on. There's people who give speeches saying, yes, the government really did, the Air Force, I guess it was too early for the Air Force, but the government really did confiscate a crashed UFO in Roswell,
right.
And they've reverse engineered this gravity propulsion, anti-gravity propulsion, so they don't even need the water. And I know there's a lot of energy in the magnetic field of the Earth, and that's what I think Tesla based a lot of his work on. And so
Nikola
now we have
Tesla.
This. Yeah, and so there's these things that flow, you know, fly in the sky. They don't have wings. They just go up and down and zoom and change direction very quickly. It's like they're not dealing with G-forces. They've somehow overcome the effects of gravity. And, you know, as I understand it, gravity is like instantaneous. It's not even bound by the speed of light. So and I could be
gravity
wrong about
pulls
that.
Down, gravity pulls down, as we know it on Earth, gravity pulls down on Earth at 9.8 meters per second squared, and that's why you can go to the moon and jump around and bounce higher and jump around like an idiot and have fun, and on Earth we can barely jump because we're fat and stupid on Cheetos. But
that's the equation of the motion, but the gravity itself, I believe, is pulling and pushing at you there's not a time differential between how much the Earth pulls on you and maybe another object might be pulling on you. There's not a time differential between them, as I understand it. So
I could be
all nuts about that.
I could be wrong too. I agree with you.
So I'm just kind of totally insulted that they were ridiculing people and killing people to make them stop working on water cars, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Whereas, now that it's on Mars, we're going to jump and do it, you know, and all these respected scientists now saying it can be done, where they were ridiculing people. It's like, you know, I hate this whole suppression thing, you know, suppression of advances.
I mean, that's. that's the, and I want to say that's the U.S. government, that's the world government. I mean, anything, and I've never understood this. And me and my father were talking about this just a couple of nights ago. We were talking about the possibility of life on other planets, and have we been visited, or you know, and we were just talking that nature. And I asked him, I was like, why would the government? Because you know the whole before we went to the moon, they had the Brookings report. You remember that?
Before we went to the moon.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
remember
you
the know, Brookings report.
Were,
I was
the Brookings report. The Brookings report was an institution that basically wrote some figurative language for NASA, saying that it would be detrimental to the United States and the rest of the world if we were to go to the moon and discover alien life. So if you go there and discover alien life, then don't, you know, broadcast it. Don't let anyone know. And I never understood that. I was like, how, you know, they act like we're a bunch of idiots, like we can't handle anything. Like we,
oh,
we can't
and
handle
you know what?
The,
there's power in control. There's power in secrets in control. And, you know, I've been tuned in, my favorite alien channel on YouTube, or UFO channel, is Secure Team 10. And he's got pictures of lights in the sky almost every day. And there's astronauts that have been out there. Gordon Mitchell, I think. There's a couple of them that have said, you know, I remember when I was a kid, they told us, we're not going to go to the moon anymore because we should be feeding our poor instead. We're not going to be spending the money on going to the moon. There's nothing there. We're just going to, you know, feed the poor. And they gave us the whole Democrat line that you can't have any advances because while some
you're conservative, I already love you now.
Yeah. I am. But at the time, you know, that's how they sold it to the country. And we figured, okay, you know, we'll slow down the Apollo program and we'll pick it up in a couple of years. And we never, ever did. Never. We never went back. And it's been, we're coming up on, that was 1969. 1979, 1999, 2009. Yeah, so we're coming up for 35 years that we never went back to the moon. And it's just outrageous. And people are so frustrated because I remember when, you know, the country used to think big and reach new big things. And, you know, you can stand Kennedy next to Trump. You know, they were saying the same thing, do big things. And,
mm-hmm.
So I think you know we'll be going back to the moon, and we have to go back to the moon because if NASA won't do it, private industry will. And
like SpaceX.
But there are some astronauts who have broken the silence before their
Buzz
passing.
Aldrin.
And Buzz Aldrin, and another one, Gordon Mitchell. Actually, he appears in the WikiLeaks as emailing John Podesta about it. You know, we stopped going to the moon because there were aliens there, and they told us to not come back. Now maybe it was the Brookings report that told us to not go back, but they threatened, you know, don't come back. You know, we're mining here. You're not going to mine here. And I don't think the Secure Team 10 channel does show pictures of things floating over the Martian surface. And so there are things flying there that are not identified. They're unidentified flying objects on Mars.
Right.
And we don't know who's driving them or what's driving them or if there's some kind of natural phenomenon that we don't understand yet. But if the UN thinks that that those, whatever they are going to listen to the UN, we have interstellar war coming. So I just think it's funny because Now, I also have a religious background, too. I mean, I was raised as a Christian and all this. And some of the stories that you hear about aliens overlap so clearly with stories about how demons act that, you know, I think there's some confusion going on there and some demonology and there's some extra-dimensional stuff, some spirituality, some extra dimensions. And maybe that's how these things hop from solar system to solar system. But one thing I remember is,
that's the belief that
they have to obey you. If you tell them, leave me the hell alone, they have to. And so I think some of these are getting into our internet system? Are there actually, now this is way out on a limb, but I think some of them are, they've got themselves some internet uplinks or whatever, and they're posting in some websites. And there was one that posted in a website. It says, oh, well, you know, just let us know. We'll come visit you and all this stuff. And he signed it as an alien. And I said, you'll get off my planet. We'll just meet on Mars somewhere. This is our planet. It's not your planet. Get out of here. You know, we'll catch up with you on Mars. We'll discuss it then. You know, I don't know if that's, you know, but I have an attitude about that. You know, I just like, you know what? Demons are not allowed in my house in the name of Christ, and UFO people are not allowed in my house. And I read the Whitley Strieber contact books years ago. And, you know, he said that people that are plagued by alien abductions and things like that and visitations, somebody in their family has gotten involved in dark occult stuff. And that's how they've visited themselves. And it's
a
terrible thing to do to your kids.
A lot of people nowadays, including myself, and I would love to believe in interplanetary, you know, biology, but a lot of people nowadays have come to the conclusion that aliens and the UFO phenomenon are of a demon, satanic base. You know, it's a deception.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think it's all of them.
Yeah.
I don't think all of them are, because some of these people that I've heard speak, you'll say there's like nine different planets of aliens that are visiting us, and seven of them are hostile and malicious, and two of them are kindly. And so there's such a confusion out there now.
I just want
nothing to do with them.
You know, we're never going to know the truth on it. I mean, to be honest, I mean, living in the grand old USA, as great as it is, I mean, we're never going to know the truth unless they actually, you know, fly right through our atmosphere, plant their spaceship on the ground and hop out and say, hey, where's the hot dogs at? You know,
it has happened to some people, but our media is not going to publicize it.
No.
You see what I'm saying? If you're brave enough to talk to them yourself, yeah, I mean, don't expect disclosure from the government. We see the government lies to us after this whole last election. You know, there's all this lying. Mm-hmm. They're still lying. The Russians had nothing to do with the election. Mm-hmm. The hacking. And, you know, nobody believes that. So we know our government lies. Why should we look for disclosure, quote unquote, from the government or even the mainstream media? They both lie. You can, the disclosure is going on. You can watch these things on YouTube, people speaking with experience like astronauts, and you can believe it or not. You know, you know, you have your own personal disclosure.
Yeah, I watch a lot of stuff like that on, I mean, and I know it sounds humorous and childlike, but, you know, I watch a lot of documentaries on Netflix and YouTube, and I get more truth, and I feel like I'm getting more truth and actual evidence, whether it's, you know, real or not. I get more factual things that I do out of my own government. I mean, because they're never going to tell you, oh yeah, aliens, yeah, they're there, they exist. They're never going to tell you that. I don't know why.
Because
they won't.
Oh, because they've been making deals with them, and they've got the anti-gravity drive that they don't want us to have, because there's power in suppressing the little people, and that's what's going on. You know, it's just suppression. Our lives could be wonderful. We could be disease-free, and they don't want us to know. And so they're offing the natural health doctors, and they're offing the people that are studying the water cars, and they're offing the people that are studying free magnetic energy everywhere. They're offing them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I watched a YouTube video yesterday. This guy was showing his little machine that he built, and it's out of two generators and an alternator or something. And I didn't really understand how it worked, but he said his life has been threatened, and so he's moved out into the woods. He's camping out in a cabin in the woods, and he's uploading his YouTubes from there. And, you know, because they told him, you're not going to live very long. You knock this off, because, you know, it's the end of the oil industry as we know it. And so, you know, so
yeah.
It's just, you know, the whole vaccine thing, you know, yes, I'm very angry about that, because we have elites at the top that I believe are actually in communication with satanic type beings that are non-human. And I believe they're predatory.
Right.
I believe they're killing people's babies for sport. This is human sacrifice. You know, these people at the top, you know, if you Google Pizzagate, you know, these are predatory.
The Pizzagate,
people,
yeah, that's freaking weird.
It's all predatory against other people's children, and it's for sport. It's for they think they're buying power with these aliens that tell them, oh, we can give you power over all the earth. You know, just like Satan said to Jesus, you know, in the gospel. If you just bow down to us, you know, bow down to us to start killing off human beings, and there's this whole depopulation agenda. And, you know, it all kind of ties together in my head, all this stuff, you know.
Kind of like the Godstones in Georgia.
That's yep, that's exactly, yeah. Depopulate the earth by over 90%, you know.
Yeah.
That's evil. Pure evil. And where do these people get these ideas that they can do this to other human beings?
Have you ever been to Africa? I mean, have you ever seen Africa?
No.
Like, there's plenty of room there. There's plenty of room in the United States. I mean, in my state, Arkansas, where I live and reside right now, there is plenty of room. I mean, literally, there are hundreds of thousands just open prairie plains, just nice.
I've crisscrossed. I have driven across this continent several times, the North American continent, and massive amount of space. There is space here for everyone, and you know, if we, you know, one thing that will good coming out of the space program is going to perfect the hydroponics industry, and people will just have, you know, a glass room on the side of their houses, and they'll grow their own food. You know, they won't pull grow local stuff. You know, I understand that most people aren't interested in gardening, and you know, it's a popular hobby, but not everybody does it. But I think it's all going to be automated. There are actually automated machines. You can instantly grow sprouts in your kitchen with a machine that will do all the watering and lighting and everything for you, about the size of a refrigerator, and you can have these perpetual vegetables. Right now, you got to do it. I like to dabble in growing my own sprouts, but all of this stuff will be perfected. You know, we'll have food without work, and you just pay for the fertilizer and the seeds. You know, we won't have to be shipping things, you know, trucking them across the country with driverless trucks.
Right.
You know, so we're gonna. It could be faster if they would just take their boot off our neck, the New World Order. You know, because this stuff is coming; it can't be stopped because ideas have their times. So I know. If you want to hang on, this other caller has been holding quite a while, and I'd like to let him join the conversation.
Ahead. Yeah, put him on, definitely. Sure.
Hi, I think I know your phone number. Is this?
Hello. Yeah.
Hi, you got ideas? I've been rattling off myself. What are your ideas on this?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about the fact that the astronomers and astrophysicists, and you know, have discovered more and more planets just over the last 10 years. It started with just a few, and now it's up into the thousands, isn't it? Like 2,000 planets.
Yeah,
they're all
I don't know what percentage of them are Earth-like.
You know, there's the one that they were talking about on the web yesterday. It was a news story, actually, that Google had, where they've shown that one star system that is only, what, 6 light-years away or something, has two potentially Earth-like planets. One is 40% larger than the Earth. The other one is 60% larger than the Earth. They think that they might be covered with liquid water. Now, can you imagine how interesting that would be if there's liquid water, but there's no land? So whatever life evolved on there is all underwater. You know, so they might have quite a different kind of civilization going on there, you know?
So they wouldn't have whales because
planets,
those would be mammals.
Well, yeah.
Hey,
can I cut
in real quick? You were talking about, you know, civilization on another planet. And that's and you know, here on Earth we always think of, if we discover life on another planet, then it's gonna be millions and millions of years advanced beyond our technology. But what if it's different?
So.
Yeah, what if it's different?
Sure.
What if we're the ones that are advanced? What if they are still living in, you know, huts and caves and whatnot? So I'll
or just
often pose that question. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to scare them. Just like there's a few uncontacted tribes in South America that we don't contact them because we don't want to scare them with our helicopters and machinery and or guns and stuff. We don't want to disturb their lives.
What was the prime directive on Star Trek? It was not to interfere with any civilizations that are out there.
Yeah,
maybe
but they were very
the
open about talking.
That might be the rules of the road for all intelligent species to do that. But here, but where I was going with this idea is this: that now they're discovering that there's thousands of worlds, many of which could be terraformed or already maybe brimming with life that are just within the next just within 10 or 15 light years of Earth.
If you're going to terraform them. Then
well, I
you're
don't necessarily mean that they
there.
Should do that, but I mean, yeah. But I guess what I wanted to say is maybe we should not have this terror of the unknown. Maybe there are so many planets across the Milky Way galaxy of 200 billion stars, that people that any kind of beings out there just there's nothing special about any one planet. There's nothing so special about Earth that's different from a star, from a planet around a star that's a few light years away. And there might be millions and millions of worlds like that. That means that there's no urge, no need to conquer, to send out a war party or something, or to destroy a planet. Why? Why would they do that? Maybe we're in a very peaceful galaxy.
Well, because why are
why are
they suppressing progress here? Because it's just plain evil. I think probably the choice within the whole universe is good versus evil.
Who is suppressing progress?
Well, the New World Order. I mean, why are we allowed to have war cars on Mars but not on Earth?
Okay, well,
that's
the premise of the power structure here on Earth. Maybe we got something to learn.
Yeah, good versus evil. Well, why would seven species visiting the Earth be evil and malevolent and two species be kindly, good and kindly?
Because it seems like
the whole universe is making the choice between good and evil.
Isn't that something that you saw on a YouTube video? The thing about seven evil species or something. Well, who knows if that's true or not? Maybe we should be a little bit more happy.
Yeah. Maybe they're suppressing all the good ones at home, and only the evil ones are coming here. So maybe are we going to only send our evil people to Mars?
Let's look at Roswell. What was that, 1947? So they've been around. Somebody's been around here since 1947. Maybe even much longer than that, because they've been seeing these kind of objects for evidently thousands of years. So, have they killed all of us? Have they made all of us slaves? Have they taken away our beautiful women because they need them for breeding purposes?
We don't know. There are stories of abductions.
There may have been some abductions. Yeah.
They could be running the Pizzagate crap, under the whole thing.
I'm not
going to
laugh at that
because
I think there really is
something
going on.
Prey on other people's children.
Yeah. No, I think that's human lust more than alien, desire or something. I think that just people are a little whacked when it comes to their sex drives. And there's so many
mental illness, that could be vaccine damage,
You also have to look at the biblical books. I mean, if you want to tie this back into the Bible and stuff like that, and caller, I'm sorry, I don't know your beliefs from the Bible. You look at
a good Christian lad.
Yeah, but you look at the Book of Enoch, where it talks about the sons of man, which were the sons of God, coming down and lusting and having sexual relations with beautiful women on Earth, and that's where the giants supposedly sprung up and stuff like that. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, that's another interesting topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things like the skulls of Paracas on YouTube.
Where
did
the idea of the Nephilim come from?
Yeah,
and the giants, that there were giants in the old days and stuff like that.
Correct. That was supposedly where Noah, the Noah's Ark, and that was where God destroyed that. But then they popped up again. So it's very, very kind of weird. And I'm the type of person, I'm from Arkansas, so Bible Belt type deal, Baptist. type deal where everyone thinks that, you know, if you believe in aliens then or life on another planet, then you're disrespecting God and well I don't believe that. That's not
what?
My belief. I believe
I think God can get around. God can get around and he can send, you know, prophets to various lands.
Yeah. Well, I believe that if God is an all-knowing and all-creating God and eternal God, then if he created life on another planet, what business is it of mine? I can still believe in my God and believe that there may be, whether it's microbes or some, you know, 13-foot-tall giant build pyramids on Mars, I don't care. But that does not sway my belief either way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Jesus say he had other sheep?
Across the stars. Yeah.
Right.
Jesus said he has other sheep that are not of the sheep. And, you know, there's been various biblical interpretations, but, you know, if he's the prince of the universe, he can go anywhere he pleases.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So,
and
I should probably take another quick commercial break here, so we'll get the last commercial break out of the way, and then we'll be on for another few minutes until the top of the hour. So, one moment here.
Aloha, this is Katmir Stone of Freedomizer Radio. I was born and raised in the Caribbean tropical coast, and enjoyed living along the Blue Ridge Mountains of Appalachia, both places where Mother Nature rules and shoes are optional. Now living in the ninth largest metropolitan area in the United States, I'm surprised that more people don't realize that their health would improve if they just took off their shoes and relaxed. Yes, even in the middle of downtown. Bunions, hammer toes, atrophied pinkies, fungus issues, weak structure, all these foot problems caused by shoes are simply due to the fact that people don't know that being barefoot is not just the natural, comfortable solution, it's legal. That's right, Freedomizers. We at barefootislegal.org host a weekly radio show where we discuss the many health benefits and zero laws concerning going barefoot. Join Nicola, Kiliki Claybaugh, Patty Peaceful, and yours truly, Katmir Stone, every Saturday starting at 10:30 a.m. Pacific, 1:30 p.m. Eastern for Barefoot is Legal Radio. Hashtag Freedomizer Radio, hashtag Shoes Ruined My Feet, hashtag Barefoot is Legal. .org.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all in the Sabbath hour at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
That's an interesting thing about history repeating itself. Kind of like we've been here before with the aliens visiting the planet and electricity and stuff. There's some theories out there that the pyramids were not about burying the pharaohs, that they were actually Tesla-type wireless electricity generators that you could tap into them from anywhere in Egypt, and that technology collapsed.
Did they need electricity in ancient Egypt?
That's a theory. Now, you know, we don't see the old, we don't see any lamps, you know, 2,000-year-old lamps sitting around. Well, they lost their, at some point in ancient history, something destroyed it, and that whole civilization collapsed, and there was no written record as to what they actually did, but there are some theories now that that's what they were. So, everything old is new again, and it's so old that we don't even remember it in our history books. I know. So.
Looking about aliens and ETs and what they might bring to Earth, whether they bring destruction, but they might bring good ideas. Now, what about the possibility that Jesus was actually from another world, another planet?
He was 100% human. He was 100% human and 100% God. That's the doctrine. Christian doctrine.
What about the quote angel unquote? You know, shining angel who suddenly appeared to Mary.
Yeah.
The angel made an announcement that the angel was not the father.
Yeah, like an alien. A benevolent.
Person that didn't have a perspective on things might say, "Oh my God, it's an angel," but maybe it was an alien in some way. You know?
Angels are not human. They don't have parents. They don't have real gender, and they'll appear human so as to not scare you. Or maybe not let you on, because there are some Old Testament stories about that too. Mm-hmm. You know, angels as travelers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think they do actually travel back and forth and speak directly with God. So those would be the good aliens.
Was there not a miraculous fertilization there of some kind of godhood?
That was the hand of God directly intervening. And I think that's what a lot of these... evil aliens and evil demons are going with these abductions and these impregnations and pregnancy stealings and stuff like that. And all this mad scientist stuff, you could just look up chimeras, C-H-I-M-E-R-A, that scientists are doing, and all this GMO stuff, you know, blending species with other species. It's the whole purpose is to smear up and make garbage out of God's creation. That's the purpose. I mean, I don't want to eat GMO wheat, it has health detriment. I can't eat modern bread anymore like I could even 20 years ago, because now all the wheat is GMO and it makes me sick and I can't eat it.
Really,
so now I can't eat bread anymore unless I grow the wheat myself.
You really feel a difference? You really feel a physical difference as you consume a slice of bread or something?
Yeah.
So does that mean you can't enjoy pizza? You can't enjoy cake? Well,
right.
I mean,
not without consequences. I mean, I'll get through it. But it used to be I could eat whole grain bread and lose weight. You know, when I converted over to whole grain bread, and then whole wheat bread. Mm. And after a while, that stopped working. All of a sudden, I was gaining just as much weight on whole wheat bread as I was on white garbage bread. And at around the same time, I've been doing some reading. That's when they started GMOing the wheat. So I think there's a concerted effort to make the public sick. I mean, that makes a nice income for the medical establishment that never solves anything. I remember when Nixon announced the war on cancer, and I was a kid, and I thought, and I guess I was a little bit of a cynical kid. And I said, "What? You're going to pay for perpetual research? You're never going to get an answer." And indeed, the answer has not come from all these government-funded cancer research. We will never get an answer from them because the money is in the research.
You spoke about that once before. Your idea was they should give a prize, and a big prize to someone who actually cures it and something that people can use, not just continually giving more and more and more for research that doesn't yield a product or a service, you know.
They come out with chemotherapy and it makes you worse.
If I can change the narrative for just one second.
Sure.
You know, you're talking about the war on cancer, and then we had the war on AIDS. And now we got the war of the American people. So to both of you, I'm just curious, and to start a new narrative, what do you guys think about, you know, the new presidency and Trump and Clinton and Hillary and all that stuff?
I think Hillary, I think she's evil. I think she has evil intentions. Trump,
God bless.
I think Trump has come around. I think he was oblivious for a large part of his life. And
yeah.
I can't prove this, but Rosie O'Donnell kind of hit on it a couple of weeks ago. And Alex Jones talks about it matter-of-factly, as if we all know already. But the theory is that Barron Trump is autistic from vaccine. That when Trump says, I've seen it happen, it's not just one of his employees, that it has hit his own family. And I think that woke him up. Now, he doesn't come out and say, I'm anti-vaccine, because they would have shot him by now. But he does say it should be up to the parents to space it out, whatever. And he's not for forcing ever-increasing CDC schedules on people, because the cronyism and the way that Big Pharma has bought off our CDC and FDA, I believe it's hit him personally. And certainly if he's seen it with his own workers, it doesn't really matter whether it was Barron Trump or not. But something like this woke him up. The predatory nature of the New World Order and the trade deals, the purpose of the trade deals was to suck all the jobs out of the U.S. and make us all poor so that we would willingly submit to a savior called the New World Order. And he realized the pattern repeats itself. I'm sorry?
The NWO.
I'm sorry?
Reagan proposed. I said Reagan proposed that.
I think that's a misinterpretation of something Reagan said. George H.W. Bush did. His first speech as president, George H.W. Bush, was talking about us all being points of light in the New World Order, whereas Reagan was not out to subdue the American people. And we haven't had a president like that since, you know, until now with Trump, but you had a real sense that Reagan actually liked people, liked Americans, wanted prosperity, and he was tricked into that amnesty thing that he signed. They promised, we'll close the border, we'll secure the border as soon as you sign this amnesty thing for the people that are already there. And he was naive, and he did it. He signed it, and they weren't supposed to. So they kept coming in assuming, okay, the next president will find it too. And, and Trump is just, no, he's not naive. He's been burned by the system. He's a mature man. Well, Reagan was mature too. But, times are different. Now we have the internet. Now we have Alex Jones. And and I know that they actually talk. There's several people that we follow on YouTube. Alex Jones is one. And another one is Bill Still, and he's about monetary reform, because the Fed is another example of a power system designed for the sole purpose of impoverishing you and giving them all the power. And because the Federal Reserve prints money and loans it out without printing the interest that will be needed to pay it back. So it's a pyramid scheme, and it will eventually collapse. It's not U.S. government money. The Fed is a private corporation, and it's
scrambling all over each other to try to pay the interest, I guess, huh?
It has its roots back in the Bank of England before the American Revolution. That's how far this has its roots back in the Bank of England, and that's actually was the reason for the revolution. Wasn't just about taxes on tea. It was about the money that they were supposed to use to pay the tax. King George had asked Benjamin Franklin, when Benjamin Franklin was over there, gee, the colonists are awfully prosperous. How are they doing that? And, they have colonial script, and they print their money, their sovereign money, and they do their business, and they hire each other, and they make produce goods. And so they lift themselves up all up, and they're prosperous. And the Bank of England told King George, we can't let this stand. We have to force them to use Bank of England money. And that's what they were supposed to pay the tea tax with, and that's what kicked off the revolution in the Boston Tea Party. And so anyway, this guy Bill Still, he has this wonderful documentary. It's 20 years old now, but it's every bit as relevant today as it was in 1996, and it's called The Money Masters. It's on YouTube free. But Bill Still also has his own channel, and he's been covering the election and stuff. But he's got Trump's ear. Trump has said that he's a fan of Bill Still. At least two Bill Still, he said it. And he's also, I guess he's in communication with both Bill Still and Alex Jones and other stuff. And so all this heavy power mongers that just want to stomp on the little people because it's arrogance. I can't think of another reason. They want to think they're better than everybody else. And why can't we just all have the same opportunity for prosperity, you know, and wellness and health and, you know.
Warfare in England, you know, with the lords and the landowners and everything like that, and that did not come over to the United States, but is developed here through the enormous wealth that started to be created in the 19th century. And you know, these plutocrats and, you know, it's bizarre.
Yeah, it's always a fight.
Caller, you asking what we thought of Donald Trump. My idea, as I look around Washington, D.C., and I see all these incredibly evil scandals that have come out now, you know, about Podesta, that WikiLeaks was presenting, about the Clintons and how they're up to their necks in crime, and that there's a list of deaths, you know, ascribed to them. You know what it makes me, what it reminds me of? That it makes me think of Washington, D.C., like Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, thousands of years ago, that were going to be judged by God, but God sent an angel to find one good man, you know, and he did find one good man. He found Lot, wasn't it? And Lot and his family were allowed to were encouraged to leave. Well, I don't know. I kind of feel like Donald Trump might be that one good man, because he seems to be positive. He's ingenious. He's bold. He's intelligent. He's a successful businessman. But the main thing is he's not into all of this crap that all these people are, you know, scratching each other's back, you know, with graft and corruption and sexual debauchery. They can't find that on him.
They tried. Our caller friend in Arkansas, his phone dropped. Maybe we ran his battery down. I mean, certainly call back. Yeah, we have a few minutes left, but I agree with you on about Trump. You know, he says he's open to all energy types. Well, is he going to cut loose on the water energy here? That would be wonderful. You know, let us do it here. You know, publicize it and all this.
If he finds out that there's aliens or that they're among us or that we're working with them, I hope that he will tell the American people what the heck is going on, you know, because it's a big question mark.
It'll be hard to swallow. As I think that they're here, I don't ever want to meet one. I don't want to be forced to deal with them. Now, one of these things that we watched, they said, there's like several different kinds, and some of them are short with big heads, and some of them are tall and lanky with, you know, big eyes, and some of them look exactly like us, and you could be sitting right next to them in a movie theater and not know it. I don't think those are actually aliens. I think those are people that were kidnapped, you know, thousands of years ago, and these are their children. That's how I think that if there's any aliens that look exactly like us.
And
it's
maybe
because
they came back. Maybe these are different. Maybe these are different aliens.
They've crossed
aliens,
over.
But they're not so bad.
What's the word they've gone native with the aliens? What?
Suzanne, what happens when a trading nation from Europe went to Indonesia or went to India or went to China or went to Japan? What did they do? They set up trading. It was the unique products and things that one culture had. But they didn't destroy each other. They didn't. Well, maybe the Cortez and the Spaniards.
I gotta tell you, the Brits tried to destroy China with the opium. They absolutely tried to destroy China. China wanted to outlaw the opium that the Brits were importing, and you know the Brits were doing it to suppress
the
Chinese
wars.
Population. Just like our own CIA is importing the cocaine into this country, and the marijuana,
I think these are anomalies, and I think that the basically when two civilizations meet each other on a fairly level keel, you know, that they will trade with each other. So what I'm figuring is
it's mutual respect. If we're going right in with the idea of being predators, or if we or they are going in with the idea of being predators,
today, I just want to look on something positive. There's so much crap out there. I just like to see some positivity.
Yeah.
In the atmosphere. So here's what I'm thinking.
You know what I thought I had about?
What's that?
a thought I had about the aliens, and quite often they're spotted over water. And, you know, this is a big water planet.
Oh, yeah.
I think, and they kind of like flit around like bugs. They may not be really interested in much in us at all. Mm-hmm. They probably, I think maybe they're just refueling on our water.
Maybe
and they're
going
to hop on to Mars and do their mining or the moon or something.
On the other hand, think of the incredible technological revolutions that have taken place since the days of Roswell, since the days when supposedly we got a hold of some of the alien technology. Look at this. You know, when you look at a TV show from the mid-1950s and you look at somebody's house, Ozzie and Harriet or something like that, or, you know, Father Knows Best, you know, there's a small black and white television. There's maybe a radio. There's an old stove. You know, there's a few miscellaneous pieces of furniture. It's all barren. It's there's nothing technological going on there. And now you look
now
today and imagine all the things that have come as if out of nowhere. Now, sure, the technology, the American technology, it's wonderful. But what if they had a source? What if there was a secret source of power and technology? It could have been something we traded with the aliens.
Well, yeah, but our government kept it for themselves. We're flying our own stuff around Area 51.
Yeah.
The government kept it for themselves for military purposes, and I actually said that in the article that I read at the beginning of the show about the water cars and how the government knows it works, but they're keeping it for themselves, you know, for their own resident sciences, for their own military purposes. I think that might be how they keep the heart attack gun on Andrew Breitbart. You know, there's just a lot they're not telling us.
But if you look at your mobile phone, your Android or your iPhone or whatever, and you see that there's 20 gigabytes of information in there, and that you have hundreds of apps.
That's
that can
not aliens.
Take you anywhere
That's
around the
Mendelbrot
world, that you have
equation.
The whole. Pardon?
That's the Mendelbrot equation. I watched things on that too.
Okay.
That's how miniaturization. Mendelbrot. There's Euclidean geometry. You know, the right angles and all this stuff. And then there's the geometry of life. You have life replicating itself. So you get trees of leaves and all this stuff. And Mendelbrot in the 50s went to work with IBM. Now, at the same time my dad did, I have no idea if they ever met. I kind of doubt it because thousands of people work for IBM. But Mendelbrot, IBM funded this guy for generations. And that's where miniaturization came from. That's why you can have an antenna. We used to have these huge giant antennas. And now just by putting kinks in them and bending the antennas back on themselves, we only have 60 seconds left, but if you look up Mendelbrot equations, and that's where miniaturization came from. I think human beings are smart enough to develop this technology without the aliens, you know, and government getting a jump on us by getting it from the aliens first. I think it's an insult to human pride to take this stuff from the aliens that they want a leg up on us
they're also taking some humans up into space. Maybe they're taking children the cattle mutilations.
I think that's just aliens eating. They don't have teeth, so they need to eat. So they just take the cattle organs and eat.
Ooh.
So so I need to sign off, folks. Have a wonderful week.